We have so much this morning to thank God for. And this month, our theme has been about giving God glory and for His glory. We were created for His glory. And just a little bit of review from last week. You know, there's a misunderstanding, in my opinion, of what it means for His glory. And we think that God, all He wants is that His whole purpose was just to have His creation worship Him. Well, that's part of it, but that's not His ultimate goal. God is not just an egotist. And I tried to show that by going over the definition for love. Love vaunteth not itself. Isn't that what the scripture says? And if God is love, that means God is not about, He doesn't need anyone to affirm Him. God knows who He is. Amen. God knows who He is. And so His ultimate purpose for creation, and I likened it to why you have children. Amen. Those of you who have children, you know it's a money losing prospect, right? There's no profit in having children. It's just going to be headaches, late nights, and money all for the next 20 years and even beyond that maybe. Amen. So that's what I likened it to. And the only reason to have children is so that you can show love. I mean, that's the only real good reason to have children. In the Middle Ages and in the middle 18th century and back when society was a farming community, people had lots of children, but it wasn't just to show love. It was so that they could get labor. But that's not why God created us. He doesn't need our labor. Amen. What He would like is our love. Amen. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, "Even everyone that is called by My name." Hallelujah. We've been called by His name. That's what we have been called to. Amen. His name. For I've created Him for My glory. For My glory I have formed Him. Yea, I have made Him. Hallelujah. He has created us for His glory. That's what the scripture says. That's why we were created for His glory. Amen. Now, many people, I believe, misunderstand ultimately what that is trying to say. Is that a little bit better? There you go. Now you can hear me. Amen. Many people misunderstand what that is trying to say, that we were created just to praise Him. But God is not like a dictator that wants people to just worship Him. When He said He created us for His glory, it was as a vessel for His glory. Amen. You know, it's like when you have children, you want, where you get happiness and satisfaction is when you see them succeed. When you see them get to the point where they don't even need your help. Where they have achieved a certain amount of stability in their own life. And that is what God wanted to do. That's why He created us, to express His love. And the reason is, Ephesians 2:4 says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." And the proof of it is, when we didn't even love Him, when we didn't care about Him, when we didn't even know Him, the Bible says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace." That means unmerited favor, not because we deserved it, not because we were doing so perfectly. That's how we're saved, because of His sovereign choice. I likened it again to when a baby is born. What has the baby done? Nothing. All the baby does now is create mess and cry and want feeding, right? That's what a baby does. But the parents love the baby just because the baby is born. Amen. When you are born into the kingdom, it's not because you have done anything wonderful. It's because you have been born. You now have a relationship. And that's why it says in verse 6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, I want you to remember that verse, because I'm going to come back to that verse a little bit later. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the reason I believe God created us is to show, as I put in that picture, the unmeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. The only way God could show His love was to create a being or some beings to which he could show his love. If God is love, how can love be expressed when there is nothing to express it in? Amen. That's why God created us, not so that we could incessantly just worship him. God doesn't need that, but he wanted to put his glory into us. Isn't that amazing? That you were created to be the vessel, the recipient of his glory, of his love. It's just like when a baby is being looked at by the parents and they're just beaming at that little baby. The baby has done nothing and they're just all smiles looking at that baby. Look at how beautiful they are. Look at how wonderful they are. What has the baby done? Nothing. Do you understand that's how God wants to look at you? To just smile down at you and say, this is my beloved. Do you understand that the voice came just after Jesus had been baptized, symbolically letting us know it's just after we are born into the kingdom that even before we've done nothing, he's saying, this is my beloved. Look at her. Look at him. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they wonderful? The Bible says that heaven rejoices over what? One sinner. Heaven rejoices because there's been a new birth. Amen. When you're in a family and someone gives birth, the family rejoices, you know. In the world, they give out cigars or chocolates or whatever. There's a rejoicing. Do you understand how much God loves you? The purpose for your creation is that he could put his glory. That's why we were created, for his glory. You see, he's going to need an infinite amount of time to show us how much he loves us. Because love at its rock bottom is an action. Love is an action. Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. And that's why it's going to take an eternity for God to pour out his love on us. We've only begun to see the beginning of it. That he has washed us in his blood. That he was willing to come down and die. As that famous scripture says in John 3:16, for God so loved. Now, the devil's plan is to try and tell you God doesn't love you. He doesn't love this world because just look at how it is. The worst part about that is that it's that way because of him, the devil. You know, it's like he's messed up the place and blaming someone else. That's what he's doing. Look, if God loved you, why are things going the way they are? That's the only weapon he has. That's the only weapon he has is to try and blame God. The truth is, the way things are is because of human choice. In fact, it's the very ability to choose love has allowed this world to get in such a mess. God had to allow it so that there could be even the few who would come to know him and love him and give their lives and hearts to him. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, this is why there is eternity, he might show. That's God's plan in the ages to come. See, what we're experiencing down here is not life. If this was life, Paul said we would be above all men most miserably. If this was it, if this worshiping God or coming to church was, that's it, you live 100 years, then you die. If that was it, then we'd be really in bad shape. This is not it. This is not what God has planned. This is the birth pangs. This is the birth pangs of life. The Bible says in Romans, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, to wit, waiting for the redemption. I'm groaning and travailing. I want God to come and fix stuff. I'd love him to just come and, okay, let's take names and, as the world says, kick butt, if I can say that. He's going to come and he's going to do that. The Bible says he's coming back with an iron rod to rule this planet. He's going to put it into shape. Aren't you tired of the mess and all the stuff that goes on in this world? Just wait. He is coming to straighten things out. And the reason that we are going through this is just the birth pangs. There's always a travail before there is joy. Isn't that the case? Aren't you, those men that are here, aren't you glad you're not a woman? I've said that so many times. I am so glad I'm not a woman. You know why? Because I'm thinking about that birth stuff. That birth stuff is something else. You know, they say women have a higher pain tolerance than men, and God gave them that so that they could deal with that birth issue. But, you know, as soon as the birth is done, it comes joy. Here comes a new life, a little helpless life that's depending on you. You know, but as I've used this example, suppose the baby said, hey, I don't need your help. I'm going to do this my own. Wouldn't that be strange? But that's what we do to God. We've just been born and we're looking up at him and said, and we can't even move. We can't control us. We can't barely lift our head telling God, I don't need your help. I got this. And that's why we get into so many issues. Amen. Let's go on. Verse 8, for by grace are we saved through faith. That means you can't see it yet. It has got to be a trust because we're saved, the Bible says, through faith. By believing that by doing the things God has asked us, that is the simple choices he's asked us, that is going to save us. We can't see it yet. We don't see the reality yet of heaven. And this is where faith comes in. There are some things that science can't prove. You know, there's some things they cannot prove, but they still believe it. They still believe it's true. Amen. I'm not going to get into science this morning. Let's go on. Again, this is by way of review. John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus, talking to his disciples not long before he was to go away, says, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter. It's interesting that in the New Testament, in John, the Holy Spirit is called the comforter. You know, many babies, they have a comforter. Did you know that? They have a blanket or something, a comforter. I need a blanket. I do. I need my comforter because there's times when I just want to, you know, crawl into a fetal position, as they say, and pull the blanket over my head. I don't want to deal with the world. You know, I'd just like to shout out, stop the world and let me get off. You guys can keep going. I don't want to deal with this issue right now, you know. But the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is called the comforter. You ever thought about why? Why is it called the comforter? Because if we have the Spirit, we have an assurance. It is our covering. It is our security blanket. We may not see it at times. We may not even feel God that he is near. But he is there. Because either that or God would be a liar. Because he said, I will never. Let's say that together. Never leave you nor forsake you. You may not feel him at times. You may be going through some. In fact, I know all of us are. There's probably not one person in here says, I'm on easy street. I have not a care in the world. Anybody fit that care? Anyone here don't have a care in the world? Some of us have not enough fingers to count the issues. That's when we need the comforter. When we have an assurance. That is the beginning of the glory that is going to be revealed in us. When we have that assurance, when we know that even though we can't see him, he is there. And every now and then, he does a little thing for me to prove that he is there. You know, out of the blue, he'll do a little thing. And it's actually not a little thing, but he'll do something that I know is miraculous. And I'll say, thank you, Jesus. He'll reassure him. It's like a baby when they're crying. You know what the mother does? Picks it up, puts it on the shoulder, and just starts patting it. Anyone need a hug from God this morning? I need a hug from God this morning. Amen. But either God is a liar or the scripture is true. He said, I will never leave you. Never leave you. That's what he said. Even the Spirit of truth. In fact, let me go back. I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for a month, 2 days, when things are going good. What does it say? As they say, forever is a long time. Forever is a long time. You understand that the devil's job is to take away your faith, to make you doubt, to make you start to wonder. You know, that's what his job is. That's what he is, a deceiver. And how does he do it? Hath God said? Make you question God. Did you really hear from God? Did you really trust God? Hath God said? Does he really love you? Comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. You know, there's some people don't want to know truth. If truth hit them, they'd have to change. So they don't really want to confront truth because truth is a mirror. And it would show them that they need to change. So there are some people who don't want to know the truth. It says the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. And here's a revelation. It was Jesus speaking. He says, you know him. Why? Because you're looking at him. He dwelleth with you. That means I'm right here now. I'm with you right now, but I am going to be in you. That's the glory. I said last week, Jesus himself went up on the mountain and he unveiled himself and revealed the glory. And it was so bright that no one could look. The disciples had to shield their face. Now he's saying that glory is going to be where? In you. But here's the key. Here's the key. Our flesh can veil it. See, if we want the glory to be revealed, we have to get the flesh out of the way. That's what Jesus symbolically did. He unveiled himself and the glory shone forth. Even the Spirit of Truth, verse 17, which the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Don't know him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Here's the point. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. There was a time Jesus sent the disciples away to cross the Sea of Galilee, right? And what happens? A storm comes up. What did Jesus do? Well, that was the first time. The second time, they thought they were by themselves. As soon as the storm comes up and they got fearful, what happens? Jesus shows up. What I'm telling you is that Jesus will show up in your storm. If you belong to him, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. Isn't that what the scripture says? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's what happened in their storm. They had left him on the mountain, but suddenly he shows up walking on the water. And they see Jesus. Immediately they see Jesus and they know it's him. You know what? The storm hadn't stopped yet. But I can imagine they kind of going, whew. Okay, we got this now. The master's here. The master's here. The storm hadn't stopped yet. In fact, Peter was so happy to see the master. He said, listen, tell me to come to you. Storm's still going on. Wind's still blowing. Waves still howling. But because he now sees the master, he says, listen, let me try that. Tell me to come to you. And you know, this is my testimony. Jesus gave him one word. Come. When Jesus tells you, come, and I'm sorry to repeat myself, despite the storm, you can walk on water. Isn't that what Peter did? Amen. That's what it means about the glory that will be revealed in us. Because whatever Jesus did, we are going to be able to do too. Peter sees him and says, listen, let me walk on the water too. When you get the one word from God, when he says come, you can get out the boat. Isn't that awesome? Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. He was telling his disciples, they see me physically, but in a while I'm going to go away. But you shall see me. Why? Because I live, ye shall live also. As I've said so many times, when you think of all of the world's major religions, their founders are all dead. None of the founders claim to have come back. Most of them have tombs and probably some bones in there. But Jesus, even though he has a tomb, there's nothing in there. Because he said, I'm going to come back. Because I live, you're going to live too. Now, the question is, do we believe? Because we're saved by grace through faith. We have to believe even though we can't see. Even though we can't maybe logically make a scientific proof. But science has shown there's many things they can't prove either. They just believe. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Remember, This topic is the glory that shall be revealed. The glory that shall be revealed. The Bible says in Genesis 1 that he created us in his image, in his likeness. Originally, we were created to be like God. In Genesis 5, when Adam had a son in his image and in his likeness, guess what? His son looked like him. Isn't it amazing when you have little babies born and you're looking at them now? Does it look like the mother or the father? And at times you can see both. That's how you know. There's some children, they don't need no DNA test. They don't need no blood test. You just look at them and you say, and then no doubt about this. That's how it should be with us. People should be able to look at us and say, there doesn't need to be any doubt whether they're a Christian or not. There should be no doubt. Just look at them. Look at the glory. The glory. The glow. See, there should be no doubt. There shouldn't need to be a blood test or a DNA test with us if we claim who our Father is. People should be able to say, he's a chip off the old block. He's just like his daddy. That's what Jesus said. I do nothing except what my Father does. I can do nothing. What he does, that's what I copy. You'll find your children copy you. You know, your children will say what you say. They will do what you do. You see them. Anyone who has a child, you'll see them copying you. That's what we are supposed to do. We should be, our whole goal is to be like the Father so that the glory can be revealed in us. As I said, God's purpose is to show us. Is to show us, and he led by example. In Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, whatever you're going through, is not to be compared with what you're going to get. All it is the birth pangs. All it is the inoculation. You know, when you go to the doctor and they want to stop you getting something worse, there's a little bit of pain. They tell you sometimes you can look away. I never look away. I like to see the needle go in. I want to see what they're doing. I want to see when it goes. So I always look. But we do it, we allow people to do that because of the greater good. We go through suffering. The Bible says the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings are there because God has given mankind choice. He could make everybody a robot. There would be no pain or suffering. But you know what? There would not be any more love. There would be no love. He could just make us robots. But there would be not any possibility of love or the appreciation of love. So God put up with all the mess. It cost him pain. So that you could come to love him. But not only does it cost him pain, there is suffering worldwide. It's just the way it is. It's like there's some things that have to be the way they are. You know, the Buddhists and the Zen philosophy, they have a saying that they want people to contemplate on. The sound of one hand clapping. Can't be, can it? What's the sound of one hand clapping? Nothing. So some things have to be the way they are. The only way you're going to get a sound from is two hands clapping. You cannot clap your hand with one hand. I've tried. It doesn't work. Get no sound. So the Bible says that the sufferings that we're going through is temporary and not worthy to be compared with the glory. Let's say with the glory. Amen. Who's had a happy day in their life? Hopefully there's been days when you were happy, when you thought this couldn't get any better. Amen. I hope you've had more than one day when all you could do was smile. Something good happened and you were so happy. Heaven is going to be that multiplied. If you can put your mind back to that day and what made you so happy and you were thinking, man, this is great. This is exactly what I want. If you can remember how you felt, the euphoria, the joy, heaven's going to be that on steroids. It says it cannot be compared. It's not worthy to be compared. It's hard for us to understand that, because in between those mountain peaks, we're on top of the world. There's always these valley experiences, right? Where you go down into the valley, sometimes the valley of the shadow of death. And it looks like there's a precipice here, there's a fall off there, and there's trouble behind and trouble in front. But every now and then we get out of the valley and we get to the mountaintops. But as someone said, you know where things grow? Never on a mountaintop. It's in the valleys. It's in the valleys where things grow. And although you don't realize it, you were growing. There's things now that you can deal with you couldn't deal with in the same way in the past. There's things that you had to learn. Paul said, I learned. That means at the beginning he was not content. Man, I don't have to put up with this. I'm the great apostle Paul. The Bible said he learned to be content. That means he didn't start off learning to be content. You know, right. He didn't start off learning. You have to learn to be content because you've been through some things. And I know I'm taking a long time on this point, but it is so important, because the devil will use your situation to try and tell you God does not love you, or you've messed up, or there is some negative reason. But just look at every example in the Bible that God called and that God blessed. Name me someone who had easy street. Name me someone who didn't have issues. Even though God called them, God blessed them, God used them. David, the very day he was anointed was when things started to go bad for him. Right? The very day the prophet came and poured the oil and said, you've been chosen king. Man, wow. Very shortly after that, he was running for his life. For years, it wasn't a little bit. For years, he must have said, wait a minute, I don't understand this. How can I be appointed king and look at my life? It's gone from bad to worse. Now I'm living in caves. Saul is always, and it doesn't matter what I do, even when I do good for him, when I kill his enemies, he's still trying to kill me. You know, that's proof that God loves you. It means the devil hates you and is seeking to destroy you. The vision came to Joseph and said, listen, you better leave, because Herod seeks to destroy the young babe's life. That is Satan's plan. But God's plan is to let his glory in us. 1 Peter 5:1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory. There's three things that go together. I've told you two of them that go in a group. I'm going to tell you the third one in a minute. The first one is glory and suffering. You don't get glory without some suffering. That's how it goes. Also a partake of the glory that shall be revealed. That's what he said. Listen, I've been through some things. According to history and tradition, only one of the disciples died a natural death. And yet they were all directly commissioned and appointed by Jesus. And yet they still die. You know why? Because God has given choice. That means we can choose. There are evil people who will choose to do wrong, choose to not want to worship God, choose to go their own way. And the only way God can allow love is to allow choice for the time being. Let's now focus on that word glorify. And in the Greek, the word is doxa. That's where you get the word doxology from. And it means praise, honor, to magnify, exalt, extol, lift up. That's what it means. All those words. Do you understand? When I said that God created us for his glory, I'll give you a proof. Jesus said that he is going to name drop you before the Father. He is going to honor, magnify, exalt, extol, lift up you. He said your name is going to be called in heaven. Think about that. How many rich and famous people know your name? When were you last in the news? When did you get celebrity status? When was your name in the newspaper as a famous person? Let me see. The last time I got to be on television, I was on television one time, but it was like, let me see, I was 17. I was on 17, and I was in the newspapers when in Jamaica, actually, because we went on a special trip, and they featured us on as a special trip. But that's about my 15 minutes of fame was about that much. And my son Matthew, if you Google Brownie, that's who will come up, because he's had his little 15 minutes of fame too, because he wrote some famous songs. But here is the most famous thing that can happen to you. God is going to, listen to what Jesus said, I am going to confess your name. Sister Johnny, your name is going to be called in heaven. Sister Tanya, your name is going to be called in heaven. Brother Tim, your name is going to be called before millions of angels. Think about that. We were created for, he's going to say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. They went through hell on earth. They struggled. They had to fight. They went through depression. They came, there was all kinds of things. But look, they're here. They're standing. They made it. He's going to call your name. He's going to give you praise. He's going to give you honor. We have an example of that in the Old Testament. Satan came with the sons of God, and what did God say? He called Job's name. Have you considered my servant Job? How he loves me. That's what I'm talking about. God was glorified in Job. So Satan says, yeah, it's because he's your son and all. It's because you love him and you pour all this blessing into him. Just let me have him for a little bit. Let me show you how much he loves you. I'm going to let some bad stuff happen. Then he's going to curse you to your face. He's going to curse you to your face. Here's the thing. If you know absolutely without doubt that someone loves you, nothing someone else says is going to change that. Now, you may see some negative circumstances, and they may say, well, they did it. And even if you can't explain the circumstance, I will not for one minute believe, say, my wife is going to do anything negative to me. Something negative may happen, and someone says, she did it. I won't believe it. Isn't that what it says in Corinthians? Love suffereth long. Love doth not believe evil reports. Right? Because I know her. I know. That's what God was able to say about Abraham. I know him. He was willing to give his only son, whom he loved. That's how much he loved me. So I know Abraham. You're not going to be able to switch his mind, because he went to the uttermost to prove himself. And because of that, your name is going to be called in heaven. That thought chokes me up. That God is going to give us praise. God is going to give you praise. That's why we were made for his glory, for him to glorify. Isn't that what Jesus said? And I'm going to get to that. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus dipped the sop, and he had told the disciples, to whomsoever I give this bread dipped in the gravy, he's the one going to betray me. He put the bread in the sop, gave it to Judas. Scripture says at that point, Satan entered Judas, and he left. The moment he left, you know what Jesus says? Now is the Son glorified. Now is the Son glorified. When we let Satan go, when we tell him to get out, when we release our fears, then will the Son be glorified. I'm way ahead. Way ahead. I said, just like love, glorify is a verb when it's an action. We bring glory to God. Glory, the noun, defines an attribute, something we can see, hear, taste, touch, or feel. So now, here's the third thing that's associated with glory. I said suffering was one of the things. The third thing that's associated with glory is power. Kings, they say, have glory. Why? Because they got power. Right? President has power, so he has some glory. Yesterday? I had to go to Best Buy up by Brown Deer, and as I was driving around, I started seeing all these policemen and tape and stuff up by Brown Deer Road, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? And I thought, maybe there's some big, you know, police action, and I kept on seeing more in all the exits, and as I went by the Brown Deer Plaza, I saw garbage trucks placed in the entrance to the plaza where I was about to turn. You couldn't turn because they put garbage trucks. And then I saw crowds of people along the... I said, I guess the president must be coming. You see, he has power and he has some glory. Satan has some power, but he has no glory. So glory comes along with a manifestation of power. And let me explain that. It was Friday, okay. I couldn't remember. It must have been Friday he came. President Trump came to town. I didn't get to see him, but I was just going down the same road he was because they had blocked off all the traffic. So God's glory is related to his power. Now, I want you to read this carefully with me. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And that clock back there is not right, so I better get my thing out here so I don't go over here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory, speaking about Jesus. Jesus is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. I mean, the only image of God you're going to see is Jesus. And upholding all things, remember I talked about the word. How's everything upheld? By the word of his power. It doesn't say the power of his word. Read it carefully. The word of his power. That's not a mistranslation. The Bible is trying to teach us something. Let me put those two things together. Let me read it again. Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. That is, the word is the power. Now, I said that there are three things that go together with glory, or two other things. Glory always has an association with suffering. Glory always has an association with suffering, but glory also has an association with power. The brightness of his glory by the word of his power. I tell you, when we get those two things in us, so Jesus is the brightness of his glory. Now, didn't Jesus tell us that we should so let our light shine? See, if we were totally walking in sonship, and I admit this is not easy because the flesh wants to keep us grounded in partial truth, in our sad situation, in the troubles that we're going through, in the fights that we have to, the flesh wants to just us to focus on that. But as I've told you so many times, it's the truth. But as they say in a court, it's not the whole truth. Because we only can see a limited vision of what total reality is. There's a whole spirit dimension that is so far above and beyond what we can see. So when he had by himself, this is Jesus, purged our sins. You know what purged means? When you purge something, what do you do with it? You get rid of it. It's gone. It's only the devil keeps bringing it back. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So God's glory is related to his power, right? Whenever the president stops being president, you know what happens for the most part? He has no power. He can't give executive orders anymore. He can't do anything anymore. He has one or two little Secret Service guys, but that's it. He loses the power. But God says, I was, I am, and I shall always be. I am the Alpha and Omega, and besides me, there is no other God. And he upholds everything by the word of his power, which relates to why his glory is eternal. Amen. So when we put those two things together, the brightness of his glory is the word of his power. The Bible says about Jesus in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Every time God spoke, that was a word. And that word is the word of his power. So let's follow this a little bit more. As I said, since Jesus is the brightness of his image, and Jesus said, I will be in you, then you know what we got to do is let this flesh reveal his glory. People should see his image, not us. How would they see his image? You know, a few years ago, there was this craze. Everyone was wearing these little bracelets that said WWJD. WWJD. Well, it's good they had those bracelets, but we shouldn't need to be reminded what Jesus would do. Right? If you need it, wear it, but we shouldn't need to be reminded what Jesus would do. Because he's supposed to be what? In us. Not just on us, but in us. If Jesus is in you, you're going to be his image. You're going to express his image if you move the flesh out the way. Jesus showed what the glory was like when he revealed, he unveiled the flesh. And when he did that, they couldn't even look at him because the glory that was revealed. The Bible said that the glory is to be revealed in us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify God. Many times we only want to do things if it will bring glory from men to us, right? If someone isn't looking, it's not as big a deal to do it. But that's when we are going to get glory. It's not when we do our alms before men, the Bible says, but when we do it as unto the Lord. When you give, you're not giving to me or even to this church. You're actually giving to God. When you help someone, you're not helping them directly. Your Bible says, Jesus said, when you do it unto the least of these, it's as if you've done it unto me. So there are times when I give, and I'm thinking that person's not going to do with this what I think they ought to be doing. But you know what? That will be on them. I'm doing as unto the Lord. The Lord sees my heart. The Lord sees your heart. And even if I suspect they're not going to do what I want with them, I am fulfilling God's command. And God is still going to bless me. It's not dependent on what they do. The Bible says it's better to do what? To give? Amen. Matthew 5:16 then says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, the good works doesn't get us into heaven, but we are supposed to do good works. You don't work to get in the kingdom, but in the kingdom do you do work? Right? It's not because of your work you get into the kingdom, but when you're in the kingdom, you are supposed to work. Jesus said, pray the Father that he will send laborers. All of us should be soul winners. All of us should not go a whole week without telling someone, God loves you. There is a God. He is real. He is real to me. I can tell you about him. I can tell you the miracles he has done for me, how he has changed my life. Well, you're still in pain. Yes, I'm in pain. But I have hope. I told someone the other day, the glass for me will never be empty. It's never half empty. It's always, at worst, half full. I'm an optimist because I have Christ. It's never going to be a bad day. Amen? Because I have Christ. Now, if I didn't have Christ, then yeah, it would be a very bad day. But because I have Christ, Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. You shall live also. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As Christians, the Bible says we should have a good report outside the church. Or else how are we going to witness? People say, yeah, you're a Christian? That should never be said to us. You're a Christian and you're acting like that? Right? If we do that, then we're not glorifying our Father. We're spoiling the name. Right? If my father had a name, aren't you Pastor Brown's son? I better behave because people were watching me. Right? Don't you go to church? Don't you go to that church? Then why are you in this bar getting drunk? Why are you lighting up the weed? You know? We have to be different. That you may glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we now are to be the brightness of his glory now. By letting our light shine. Then also will manifest in our lives. See, we want the word of his power. But we haven't first started with letting our light shine. Because what I was trying to tell you, yes, suffering is part of it, but so is power. If we suffer with him, doesn't it say, then we shall also? And don't kings have glory and power? Reigning means we have dominion. Right? Reigning means we have dominion. So if we suffer with him, then we shall also reign with him. Hallelujah. Then also will manifest in our lives that word of his power. We want to be able to point to things and say things, make commands, but if we have not yet let the light come out, the three things are associated: suffering, glory, and power. We see all of those in Christ Jesus, right? He suffered, and then just before the cross, he said, now is the world, the Son of Man, to be glorified. And he then prayed, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had. And so you see the phases are first suffering, then glory, and then revelation of power. That's the order it has to go in. Yes, we're going to first suffer with him before we will reign with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's one that we don't like. But God, as I said, suffering, there is glory in infirmities. It's in our weakness that God has the opportunity to reveal his glory, right? As I said, if all of you had no problems, everything was perfect, you had every single need in your life met, what would you pray for? Where would God's ability to show his love? My wife complains and says, it's very hard to buy anything for me. And it's true. You know why? I have everything I want. How can she show me her love? Because love is an action. It's very hard for her to get me something because I don't want anything, really. You know, you can only wear one suit, one shirt at a time, right? You can only put on one tie at a time. And so she said it's very hard for her to show me her love through gifts because there's not much I want. So you understand that it's in our lack, in our weaknesses, gives the ability for God's glory to be revealed in our lives. That's when he can show, because it's when they say a friend in need is a friend indeed. It's when we need help that friendship matters. When we don't need help, it's not as important who's your friend. But it's when you need help, that's when friendship matters. And so it's in our weaknesses that God has the opportunity to show up. Corinthians 12:9, 1 Corinthians. And he said unto me, this is Paul, my grace is sufficient. He's saying, it's not your works. He's saying, my love, my unmerited favor is sufficient for my strength. You see, Paul had an issue. There were some things that were bothering him. And he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about it. And you know what? God did not fix it. God left it. There may be things that God leaves in your life for a purpose. You may say, well, that's not right. That's not fair. That's because you can't see the big picture. As I said, if tomorrow one of you wins the 20 million lotto, and by that I mean finds a ticket, I'm not expecting you to go buy one. But just suppose Reader's Digest or Publishers Clearinghouse comes by and says, somebody put an entry in your name. You have won $10 million. I always ask the question, will you be in church next week Sunday? Now, I know you'll all say yes, but some of us probably be on a world cruise. I'll be back to church, Pastor, but you know, I really have to do something right now. I gotta do a few things, right? There's a few things I have to do. So God sometimes does not let us get what we think we need, what we want. He gives us what he knows we need. Amen? That's what he gives us. He says, my grace. Paul was asking for this thing to be removed. We don't know explicitly what it is. He said he prayed 3 times. And God said, no, I'm not removing it. Wow. It won't kill you, but it will keep you humble, Paul. It'll make you pray. It'll make you keep praying. And that's what we'll have to do sometimes, is pray. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's where my strength is shown. Because even though you're suffering, even though the devil is telling you to give up, even though the devil is telling you to do this or take this path, you don't. And God's saying, I'm going to deliver you. So when Paul finally, after the 3rd time praying and God didn't fix it, he gets it. He says, okay, in that case, what does he say? I am going to rejoice. I'm going to praise. I'm going to extol. I'm going to lift up your name, even over those things I don't like in my life. Do you understand how powerful a weapon that is against the devil? You start thanking God for infirmities and weaknesses. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to go, I don't understand this person. I just brought some sickness. I just brought some financial crisis. I just brought some family issues. And they're thanking you for that? They're worshiping you? They're giving you glory? What you have just done is disarmed the devil completely. Because he thought this was a weapon. All right, watch what happens when I do this. Isn't that what he said to God about Job? When he says, just let me add him. Let me do a few, mess up his life a little bit. Let me take away his wealth. Let me make him sick in his body. Let me let his children die. If your children die, watch what happens now. Watch what happens now. You know, Job had a victory over Satan. There wasn't anything else. At the end of it, there was not a single thing left that the devil could do except kill him. He had made him sick. He had made him poor. He'd killed his children. His wife had turned against him. The devil went away thinking, I give up. I give up. Because the Bible says in all this, Job did not lose his integrity or blame God. Or blame God. It's so easy to blame God. God, why didn't you do? You see, God is getting glory. You are getting power. At the end of it, there was nothing left for Satan to do. There was nothing he could do. Not a single thing. Jesus said, the king, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me. He has no power because there's nothing I want from him. There's nothing he can tempt me with. This is how we can completely disarm Satan. In our weakness, and this is totally illogical. This makes no human sense. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I don't understand this sickness, but I praise you anyway because you're going to deliver me. You're going to take me through. Lord, I don't understand this family situation. It's causing me pain. But Lord, I praise you and I'm going to give you glory because in giving you glory, I'm kicking the devil. I'm beating up the devil. This is what this scripture means. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When Paul gets it, he says, you know what? I understand this. Then most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. That, remember what I said, the 3 things that go together? Suffering, glory, and then power. Then here it is right there. Suffering, then Paul gives glory, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Glorying in infirmities. That's a true test. When we give our weaknesses to him, that's when we become strong. Right now, most of us are probably cursing the stuff that's in our life that's negative. But what God wants us to do is say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's true power. When we can come to the place and say, listen, I don't want to do this, don't want to be there, have no part of this, but nevertheless, not my will. See, Peter and the disciples had been fishing all night, all 8 hours on a boat. They were probably hot, tired, hungry, fed up, frustrated. Then here comes Jesus, just walking along, says, do it again. Don't you understand, Master? We've been doing this all night, and we caught nothing. They're not biting. We've done this 100 times tonight. We've cast the net left, right, up, and down. We've moved the boat. We've gone in a circle. Nothing has worked. Nevertheless, at your command. See, when Jesus is in the picture, something happens. It's in our weaknesses that the glory can be revealed. If we are always doing things and leaning to our own understanding, you know, when you lean and you walk, you're going to go in a circle. That's what I said yesterday. When you lean to your own understanding, you end up going in a circle. God wants to make our path straight. Isn't that what the scripture says? To make our path straight. Hallelujah. He has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he wants to make our path straight. If you want to get the glory, give him your weaknesses. This is totally contradictory to praise God for negative things. But what you're doing is disarming Satan. I know I'm repeating myself, but I want you to get the thought. Try it. Try it this week. Try it. God, thank you for this thorn. Not many of us thank the doctor. Well, maybe we do after they've given us the shot. But it's there for a reason. Thank you, doctor. Thank you, doctor. Why do they give us a shot? So that it prevents something worse. Paul, I'm not answering this prayer of yours. You know why? I'm preventing something worse in your life. Paul tells the reason. He said, because of the surpassing great revelations. Paul had been given such great revelations. He was this great apostle. So God wanted to make sure he didn't get pride. So I'm going to let you stay with this one thing, Paul. So that you understand that you still walk on two legs, that you still have to put on your pants every day. So God allows some things in our life to keep us grounded, to make us pray, to make us get on our feet, to start to seek him. Otherwise, we'd be in Disney World, right? Amen. So Paul, he got calm. Okay, Lord, I have this thorn in my flesh. I prayed 3 times, you didn't take it out. So it's there for a reason. It's to keep me prayed up. So I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to thank you for the thorn in my flesh. Now, let's be honest. Don't answer this question. When have you last prayed and thanked God for the trouble in your life? Huh? When have you last prayed and thank you, God, for this trouble? It has a purpose. I don't understand it, but I give you glory. Imagine if we did that. Imagine if we tried that. What would happen? Satan would go running. He would drop in his tracks and go screaming off somewhere like, I give up. I give up with this person. I try to depress them. I try to take them down. And look what they're doing now. They're thanking God for the mess I created. Try it. That's what Paul did. He said, most gladly. I'm going to harp on this because this is a key to power. This is a key to your deliverance. This is a key to your victory. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. Do you remember the definition of glory? Praise, extol, exalt, lift up. That's what he's saying. I'm going to lift up. I'm going to thank God. Lord, I thank you for this trouble I'm in. I thank you the bill came. I thank you the cutoff notice came. I thank you this is happening. I thank you I lost my job. When we can do that, the power comes. There is some power is going to come. There's some deliverance is going to come. Because the three things go together. Suffering, glory, and power. Hallelujah. I'm done talking about that. I hope you get it. You want to see his glory? You want to see that power? Moses in the Old Testament said, I want to see your glory, God. I really want to see his glory. Do you want to see? You want to see him work in your life? You want to see him work in your church? You want to see the power of the enemy destroyed? You want some of these things fixed? First comes the suffering. Then give him the glory. Now here's the third part. Exodus 33:18. And he said, this is Moses, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses wanted the reality. He had heard the voice, but he wanted to see now. He wanted to experience something. And he said, I will make all my goodness, God said, pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. See, we are too embarrassed and too ashamed to proclaim his name. We want God to do all of the stuff for us, but what are we willing to do for him? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zone and witness and talk to somebody and teach somebody and say, we want all the good stuff, but we don't want to do nothing for him? He says, okay, Moses, I'm going to show you my glory. But you can't see my face, for there shall be no flesh, no man see my face, see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. You have to go by the Lord if you want to see his glory. You can't stay hidden to see his glory. You have to go by him. You have to come to church. You got to go by his place if you want to see. You can't say, I want to see Johnny, and you're in your house. Man, I really want to see Johnny. And you stay in the house. And you know where he lives. I want to see Johnny. Man, I miss Johnny. And you stay in the house. The only way you're going to see Johnny is to get out your house and go to his house. Here's the key. Step one. Behold, there is a place where, what does it say? By me. You want to see my glory? Got to get by me. You can't stay in your house. You can't stay down there, Moses. You got to come up the mountain and you got to come by me. That's what he said. You got to come by me. And the Lord said, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. You know who that rock is, of course. Jesus is the rock. It says that upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not. When you're standing on the rock is the only place you're going to be able to see his glory. That's the first place to start, is to stand upon the rock. Now, picture this. He's standing upon the rock, but that's not enough because he's not covered. He's not protected. I believe the rock opened because then the Bible says you have to go into the cleft of the rock. You got to get in Jesus to really see his glory. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the rock split open. Wasn't it? Jesus, the rock, to reveal his glory. Amen. Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt, first he says, stand upon the rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth thee, I will put thee. Once you stand upon the rock, he's going to take control from there. You know, when you want to clean your car, and you go in these car washes, one of the things they say when you get on the thing, they say, put the car in neutral. You stop trying to control things, as you'll mess things up. If you don't put the car in neutral, you're going to break the chain. The first thing they say is, remember, put the car in neutral. We got it from here. So you drive up to the rock, and then you put the car in neutral. Then God says, I got it from here. I am going to take you. You want to see my glory? I'm going to take you. I'm going to put you in a safe place. I'm going to put you within me. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to shield you. And then my goodness is going to pass by you. This is how you see God's glory. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. And I will cover thee. I will cover thee with my hand. The Bible says he brought them out of Egypt with a high hand. A high hand. What a promise when God says he's going to cover you.
I'm going to shield you. I'm going to put you inside the rock. And then I'm going to cover you.
But first, just like the car wash, you got to drive up and you got to get ready. Then you got to put it in neutral. After that, you just relax, turn the windows up, put on your stereo. The car wash is going to do all the cleaning for you. When it's time to move, the light will go green and it'll say, now you can go. But while he's doing the cleaning, while you're seeing the glory, you got to relax and let him do the work. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, will cover thee with my hand while I pass, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt thou not be seen. He promised them in Psalm 23, surely goodness and favor shall follow. You'll see the back. The back is goodness and favor. It's behind. Goodness and favor. I'm almost finished. When shall we be glorified? 2 Thessalonians 1:7. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says this. And if you could stand with me. And this is to you who are troubled. That's about all of us. Is that all of us? Okay. So this is to you who are troubled. Rest with us. You got into the car wash, put it in neutral. You're here today, let him cover you. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, he's going to call your name. He's going to extol your name. He's going to lift up your name before the angels in heaven. Hallelujah. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Remember, I told you that first is suffering, then glory and power. The glory of his power. When he shall come to be what? Glorified. Where? In his saints. Not from his saints, by his saints, in his saints. Do you get it? In his saints. Because he's going to boast on you. He's going to brag on you. Just as he did with Job. Hey Satan, you might as well give up. God got so much glory out of the experience that Job went in. Satan had a huge defeat. But it took some suffering. Just as how God got glory in the cross. Satan had a huge defeat. But it took the cross. It will take you the cross to defeat the battle you're in. But in the end, there is a resurrection. It's not over because Jesus said, in me is life. And because I live, because I went through the cross and on the third day resurrected, so shall you. You shall not die, you shall live and declare his glory. That's what scripture says. Question is, what do you believe? I can say everything the scripture says, but what do you believe? In Revelation, the angel took the scroll and he said to the prophet, eat it, all of it. Today you have to eat the words that I'm speaking. You have to get them in your heart. You have to meditate and say, Lord, I want what Paul had. Whatever he had, Lord, I want your glory to rest upon me. I am going to start praising you for the situation I'm in. I'm going to start thanking. I'm going to extol your name. And I'm going to give Satan a black eye today. He's going to have a bad day counting on my depression. He's going to have a bad day thinking I'm down and out. Because I refuse to give him any glory. I am going to lift up the name of Jesus even in my situation. I'm going to praise you because I am wonderfully and fearfully made. I am going to praise you and give you the glory. I choose to worship you today. See, he's coming after he's called your name. It says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Not from his saints, by his saints, to his saints. In his saints. I'm closing this Sunday school this morning. But I want you to know, we were created for one purpose. that God could show his everlasting love. We're in the birth pangs. That's why we have to suffer. But there is going to be a time that God is going to have to take eternity to show us how much he loves us. This is seen totally by faith. You have to believe this. Because the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has got in store for those that love him. Because you have willingly chosen to come to him today, he's going to praise you. He's going to boast on you. He's going to brag on you. I'm closing this today, but I want you to go today not depressed, not down, but rather give the devil a black eye and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you the situation I'm in. You have a purpose in it. There's so much I could say. I want to just say one more thing. One more thing to just show you what I'm talking about. The disciples came across this man that had been blind from birth. And they said, why is this? Did this man sin or did his parents? Well, obviously he was born that way, so he could not have sinned. Jesus said, no, no, no. This man's thing was for the glory of God. Now, it wasn't that God made him blind, but God is going to even use what Satan did to his glory. That's to show you that even though it's a bad situation, God has said, listen, this is also for glory. Your bad situation is going to give you a testimony of victory, of deliverance, of healing. I'm trying to close. But I don't want you to leave the same way you came. I want you to leave encouraged today. Eat the word. Eat the word. Believe the word. Amen. Because the Bible said, if my words abide in you, then you shall ask. Hallelujah. You could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your greatness and your power, your love and your grace. Oh, hallelujah, that you have revealed to us that your glory is destined to be in us. Lord, help us, I pray, to walk worthy of the calling. Lord, to give you glory even in our sufferings. Oh, God, that it is not worthy to be compared with what is to be revealed. We thank you today. We lift up your holy name and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah.